If you have notifications set, I'm going to ask you to quiet those down. I just received word that Brother Charles Jackson is in the heart hospital, and we need to lift him up in prayer. Brother Larry, will you stand and pray for Brother Charles right now? He's in there right now. Amen. Go with me here to Luke chapter 18. We're going to start at verse 1. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that as it goes forth today, Lord, that it falls on good, receptive ground. Lord, I thank you that it's planted today. God, that you're going to cause it to grow. Lord, if anyone here, God, is struggling in addiction, Lord, I call out addiction to you right now in Jesus' name. Father, you said that in your word you needed a binder and that you needed a looser. And so, God, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I bind up addiction in this place. Lord, I loose recovery. God, I speak to relapse right now in Jesus' name. Lord, and I bind it up right now. God, I ask you right now, Lord, to search every heart. God, if there's people in here that want to be free, Lord, I ask that you'd make them free. God, your word is true, and so he who the Son sets free, God, they're free indeed. Lord, right now for the person that walked up in here, God, and they're heavy-hearted, Lord, I speak to depression and fear and anxiety and stress in this place right now. Lord, I loose peace, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak to confusion. Lord, we know that Satan is the author of confusion. Lord, I speak clarity over the minds of every person in this building right now. God, for the audience that's on Facebook, Lord, right now, God, I loose your power, God, to draw them. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you that healing is flowing right now in the bodies of your children here. God, I speak to offense right now in Jesus' name, and I bind it up. Lord, I speak unity right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Has everybody had a good spring break? Some of you are like, well, it's really just kind of like another week for us. You know, if you've still got kids that you're trying to raise, you probably made some attempt to do something for them and with them, and we did as well. We went to Branson for about 3 days, and I had so many moments during that trip that we took that I just had to laugh. Sometimes the only thing that you can do is just laugh about some things, and I had lots of those moments. But God has been ministering to my heart on quitting. And one of the things that I see so in abundance in believers, in non-believers, is just the attitude and the spirit of the second something gets hard, we're going to quit. The second somebody makes us mad, we're going to quit. The second that something don't go exactly how we wanted it to go, we're going to quit. It's just a quitter's mentality. And my little son, Coco Colton, he's one of the sweetest people on the planet, okay? Unless he's dealing with his brother, then he's pretty rough. But Colton is very, very sweet. And how many of you know there's things that you're just not good at? You're not good at them. You're not going to be good at them. And that's just the reality of it. You can try all you want to, but there are some things you just aren't going to be good at. Well, we have tried putt-putt golfing with this child multiple times. It's just something that, Mindy, we've resolved that he's probably not going to ever be real great at it. So we get there, and we were putt-putt golfing. Now, I'm not good at it either, but it doesn't, out of all the things that could mess me up, being not good at putt-putt golf is not going to faze me one bit. I'm awful at it, and to me, it's just therapeutic to smack that ball around, really. I can't smack around people, so I can whack that ball and have a good time doing that. And Usually it takes me more than five times, and I just tell Frank, put me down for five. Well, we're going to stop at five so we can go on. But we get out there, and we were at our little hotel, and we stay at the Water Park Hotel up there. And I'm really kind of sad because what I feel is that my children have outgrown the water park. And a part of me is just crying on the inside because they are too cool and too old for that. Like, I saw that. I just noticed it. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, they're growing up. And that kind of makes me sad. But then there's another part that kind of makes me happy. But we get out there. We all pick our golf ball. And we all get the color we wanted. Then we get our, I don't even know what you call that, golf club. I almost called it a stick. See, well, I get my little thing. A little golf club, and we're all going. Colton was good for about two times, and then after that, that kid, he just throws that golf club down. Then he stomps his foot, and then every time he tries to hit it, it's just a complete meltdown. And then he's like, "I'm quitting. I'm not any good at this. I'm ready to go inside." It was a pretty day. I said, "Colton, you're up here with your family. It's a beautiful day. Why are you letting this get to you so much where you just want to quit?" I said, "Can't you just enjoy being out here with your mom? I mean, here we are." No, the answer was no, Jeff. He can't. No, he cannot enjoy being with mommy anymore either. And he has stopped wanting to hold my hand, which crushes me. Like, I reach for his hand several times. He's pretty much done with that too. Makes me really sad. But it was just finally, after all the drama, Russell, of this kid with the golf club, I mean, it's like, I paid money for us to do that. I got news for you. We're playing it, and I don't care who has a nervous breakdown. If mama paid money to play this golf, we're going to play the golf. Now, we can all have a nervous breakdown, but we're going to all play. That's just the bottom line. Finally, I thought, I'm going to have to say something to this kid to get him to understand that he's got a bad attitude. I said, "You know, you have really bad sportsmanship, and that's not a good trait." And I said, "But more importantly than that, Colton, if you quit everything that you ever do, you're never going to be good at anything. You will never be good at anything if you quit at everything." And when I said that, I knew that was the message for today. And there are so many times in life where we quit something, and it's one of our biggest regrets. Whether you quit a person, whether you quit a relationship, whether you quit a job, whether you quit a church, whether you quit this thing or that thing, there's so many things that we could quit. But I look back at life, and there's some of my biggest regrets was some things that I quit. And I always tell people, you know what? Quit everything in your life that God did not ordain. Quit everything in your life that God did not ordain, but the things that God ordained in your life, if you quit those things, God has a way of bringing you back full circle for you to be right back at that place. Right back there, don't he, Joe? I mean, just, he's got a way, and God is so patient with us that he will take the time to let us go full circle. But you know what? If you keep going in a circle, that's called a cycle. Amen. And God wants you to level up. So in Luke chapter 18, I'm going to start at verse 1. And we're going to read 1 through 8. And it says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He was trying to teach them, instead of giving up, always pray about it. Pray about it." And we have lost our sensitivity to the answer, "Well, pray about it." And it's kind of like when someone says, "Jesus loves you." People don't feel anything with that anymore. But I urge you to make your relationship with Christ very personal. On a personal level, let it mean something to you. If you're coming to church just out of a routine, you've got to make it something. You've got to get that drive back inside of you to where you thirst after righteousness, to where you look forward to your life and to and what God is doing in your life. God wants you to get excited about what he's doing in your life. And through many circumstances and situations, people have no hope. They don't have anything worth living for, so they think. So we're going to talk about that today. So he told his disciples a parable so that they knew to always pray and did not give up. And he said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. So here's this little lady, and she keeps coming back. She keeps coming back. She doesn't quit. She's persistent. One of the things that people lack in their life is persistence. Godly persistence. God, I'm going to keep coming to you over and over and over. God, I'm going to keep coming back. One of the things that we always said in recovery, we had a little saying that we would always say. I said this the other day with the women in the jail that I was ministering to. Keep coming back, because it works if you work it, and it won't if you don't, and you're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth sticking up in there and going for what God has for you. Every day that you have on this earth was ordained by God. If you keep quitting, I'm just going to tell it to you straight. There's not enough time in your lifetime to keep retaking divine tests. I'm going to tell you that one more time. There is not enough time in your lifetime to keep taking the same divine retests. You got to get to that point in your life where you say, this is the last time that I'm learning this, because this is the last time that I'm quitting this. This is the last time that I quit this, because come hell or high water, I'm going to the next step, the next level. I refuse to quit, because I know that if I quit, I will be right back up in this place. See, God knows that it's difficult. God knows that it's gut-wrenching. He knows that it's hard, but he also wants you to know that he's with you. That he's with you. Quit everything that God did not ordain for you, that he hasn't told you that he had for his life. Quit all that stuff. But everything that God has brought you to, you better stick with it. You better stick with it. You better follow it through. So it says here, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time, he refused. That's the problem with people, is they get unsteady in their mind when it takes some time. It says that for some time, he refused justice. For some time, she had to keep coming back. See, what are you in right now? Has it been some time? Has it just been like forever, it feels like? And you're like, okay, God, when is this going to happen? See, the word said that for some time, she had to keep coming back. But she kept on it. She kept on it. See, there's things that aren't going to come easy. The word of God says that there are some things that will not come without prayer and without fasting. There are some things that is not going to come easy to you. And just because something doesn't come easy doesn't mean that God doesn't want it for you. God is looking and he's searching the planet. Who's going to still be faithful when it don't happen on your time level? In your time frame? Are you faithful when it looks like nothing is happening? I have learned that when it looks like nothing's happening, that's when something's happening the most, Jimmy. That's what I have personally learned. It's been a personal journey for me. I'm a very impatient person. I told you last week, I don't pray for patience, because here's what I know. God will have me stuck in every single line that I encounter. I pray for lots of things, but patience isn't one of them, because I know what God will have to do to get me to that place. I'm not that mature yet, okay? For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Here's somebody, he wasn't a Christian, he didn't care about people, but because he was getting agitated at her, he gave her what she asked for, but she had to keep coming to him. When was the last time that you just decided in your heart that you were going to wear the devil out because you refused to quit? What have you decided? There's some things and there's people, and you've been going through what you're going through for a long time. And it's worn on your mental state. How many, you feel me? It's worn on you mentally. It's worn on you emotionally. It's worn on you spiritually. Some of you, it's even worn on you physically. There's going to be a finally coming to your situation. This is not lasting forever. Make up your mind and make up your heart that you're going to be steadfast. Amen. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Go with me to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 18. What are some of the reasons why we quit things? I've written some down here. We feel like we're not doing any good. Sometimes we quit things because we feel like it's not making a bit of difference. It's taking too long. A lot of people quit because they're tired. They're hopeless. Maybe we're not any good at what we keep on doing. It's like I said, whatever God didn't ordain, quit that. But if God ordained it for your life, you better stick with it. You'll keep coming back to it. Some people quit things because they feel like they weren't appreciated. People quit things because they didn't get their way. People quit because they're weary. They're worn out. Sometimes people quit things because they have a rebellious heart. I want to hit on that for a moment. Are you teachable? Are you teachable? Are you teachable? Does God have the right in your life to come in and say, you need to change this, this, and this because you're not being right. This isn't right. Are you teachable? Do you have a teachable spirit? Many people have quit jobs because they have a rebellious heart. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. And I want to tell you something. Every authority has been placed by God. Even the authorities that aren't real great. Have you ever had a bad boss? Let me tell you something. I think everybody needs one at one point or another, because what it's going to do is multiple things. But if you ever get put in a position where you the boss, you're going to know exactly what to do and what not to do, because see, you've been taught what not to be like. Are you teachable? A lot of people quit because they are rebellious. If I could tell you, if I had $5, Tanya, $5 for every time somebody told me in the church after they got ticked off at me that they were quitting the church, I could take all of us out to eat multiple times. Hallelujah. Multiple times. And I want to put something inside of you today. This isn't about people quitting the church or people not, but can I keep it very real? Can I just be honest with you today? If you are a rebellious person at heart, you will never prosper in any type of way. The only way you get somewhere in life is through a teachable spirit. A pastor's job is to teach you how to win at life. It's not my whole job, because you have your part in that. But God says in His Word, now God has placed each member in the body as He sees fit. That's talking about church. You see all these empty seats? A lot of them, Cecilia, was people that got indifferent and they conjured up a reason or manufactured up a reason why I or someone in the church did something, and now they're mad at God, they have a bad church experience, and now for the next 30 years of their life, they're going to blame it on that church and that pastor and that this and that that. Now, I'm speaking to you the truth today, okay? If you're watching on Facebook Live and that's you, I hope that this pricks your heart so much that you get this part of your life right. How many of you have ever gone to Walmart and something happened and you had a bad experience in Walmart? Did you quit Walmart? Okay. How many of you have ever gone out to eat and you had a bad experience in that restaurant? Maybe the how many of you have ever had a rude waitress? Did you quit going out to eat? I had one the other day. We were at a restaurant in Branson, and I could tell this whole lady, Mitzi, she was not having it. I looked at Frank, and I said, I think they either gave us the new waitress or the stressed waitress, and I'm trying to differentiate which one we just got. And for some reason, God was trying to teach me patience that night. After I said, I'm not praying for that, Lord. So up we here in this restaurant, I ask for Pepsi. She gives me Diet Pepsi. I hate diet drinks. If I'm going to do something bad like drink soda, I'm going to drink that fattening stuff. I don't want that nasty aftertaste in my mouth. I want that stuff that's going to just be great, like all that junk food. I got that soda. I said, oh, sweetheart, please don't make an extra trip for me. But when you come back this way, will you bring me what I ordered, which was the Pepsi? And we went on and we went on. I was on my very best behavior, Jack. But one thing I liked about this girl, and here's what it was. We had some people sitting behind us and they were just obnoxious. There was like six of them. And I began to feel bad for this girl. And every time that they annoyed her, she said, God bless you. And I said, I think I can learn something from her. Because I get annoyed quite often. God bless a lot of people. And at the end of the night, I thought this in my mind. Am I going to give her what she deserves? Because the waitress wasn't real great. Or am I going to give her what God wants her to have? And I got her over there. I said, come here. And I pulled out some cash from my purse and I gave it to her. It was about double what the gratuity said. You know, they give you these little hints. I also going to interject this. Christians are some of the worst tippers. And they are some of the rudest people when they go out to eat. And if you ain't got enough money to tip the waitress and be good to her, you shouldn't go out to eat. Okay? And you should not be rude after church on Sunday morning to your waiter or your waitress. Now, that's not a part of the message, but I'm teaching you life skills. I have talked to many waitresses and many waiters, and you know what they say, Jimmy? Church crowds, after church crowds, they're the worst and rudest people. How do we do that? How do we sit here in church and then we go out to eat and we're rude? That's not good. So I tell this little girl, come here. I want to put this personally in your hand. Because God knows exactly what you're going through. And I said, now I feel like you're having a hard day. God sees that too. And I said, and I want to thank you for repeatedly saying tonight, God bless you. Because that has ministered to me. And what I want to tell you is, God bless you. Hallelujah. Now, we got to get quitting and we got to just wipe it off of the table. Because you will not prosper if you keep quitting. Amen? Only quit the stuff that God did not ordain for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I'm going to speak that one more time. I consider that our present sufferings. There are some things that you are going to suffer through. There's suffering that goes on in the life of every person. I cannot stand up here and just take that out of the message and make you think that life is all lollipops and tulips, because that's not true. But what I can tell you is that, you know what? In this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation, but God is still God. In this life, there's going to be an amount of suffering that you go through. It's just suffering. Jimmy, I hate it. I hate suffering. I want God to put me on the mountain and keep me there. That's not life. There's an amount of suffering that will go on for the person that doesn't quit. There's an amount of suffering that goes on in the life of people that don't quit. Some things that takes everything out of you, God is putting you on a whole new level, but it's going to take everything that you got. Sometimes it's easier just to quit. Don't take the easy way out. Stick in there. Hold on. Let God be who He is. Let Him be who He is. Sometimes quitting is easier than the suffering that you know you're going to have to go through. But I'm going to tell you something. It's in the middle of that valley where God blesses you the most. It's in the middle of the heartbreak that God blesses you the most. When people tell me they're quitting the church, you know what? I take that so personally. And I go to God and I'm like, God, I'm sick of this. You know what He says to me, Miss Sherry? Kelly, they quit me. They quit my son so many times. Let me tell you something. Everything in your life that God ordained, you better stick with it. He will see you through. You cannot afford to quit the things that God has ordained in your life. Sometimes it's easier to quit than to suffer. You're going to suffer for Christ. You're going to suffer when you do the right thing. Keep doing the right thing. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Sometimes we quit out of weakness, out of weariness, out of brokenness, out of frustration. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, in the same way. Actually, yes, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. This is one of my favorite verses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. There are times in your life where you are going through a hard, difficult, gut-wrenching, heartbreaking season. And you are doing a great deal of suffering. You are discouraged. You're weary. And you're saying, God, I don't even know what to pray. How many of you have come to those places in your life where you say, I don't even know what to pray? How many of you have ever walked up into church and the praise and worship's going on, and all of a sudden your hands feel so heavy, you feel like you can't even lift them and praise God? Because what you're going through is so horrendous that you just got that heavy heart. Look here, God understands that. That's when bringing the sacrifice of praise kicks in. You ain't always going to feel it. You ain't always going to feel like it. But I want you to soak this part of the word in, and I want you to hang on every word. It says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. How many of you ever heard the Word of God say, when I'm weak, He's strong? When I'm weak, He's strong. Look here, it's okay if you're weak. It's okay. The only problem with weakness is this right here. And I don't encourage this type of behavior because it hasn't proven to be true or effective. You cannot fake it till you make it. You will end up confused and you won't know where you sit on anything. If you're weak and you're having a weak season, say, Lord, I'm having a season where I'm very weak and I am very weary. God, You said in Your word that when I'm weak, You're strong. So Lord, thank You for strengthening me in this situation right now. And it says, we do not know what we ought to pray. There's times where you're going through something and you don't even know what you ought to pray. But the Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit Himself, not the angels, not the little cherubs, not your mama. The Holy Spirit Himself. That's where your relationship with Christ is personal. The Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for you. So when you're having something in life come up and that feeling inside of you, see, you feel like you want to quit, what you need to do is hold on. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what to pray and intercede for you about. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. Jimmy, there's times where we go through stuff, we don't know what to pray, and the Holy Spirit will begin to intercede with us according to the will of God for our life. There's times where we don't know what the will of God is, and we're struggling, and we want to quit because we're just so tired of going through what we're going through. Hold on. Hold on. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Who love Him. Who have been called according to His purpose. God has called each one of you. If you weren't supposed to be here, you wouldn't be here on the planet. I'm not even talking about this room. You were put here for purpose. The devil will try everything he can do to get you out of your purpose. Why? Because you're ineffective in that place. He'll try everything he can do to remove you from what God has for you. You know what I tell people when they want to quit something? You better pray to God you're making the right decision. Because if not, you're going to be able to tell very quickly. Why? Because the hand of favor that God has, it won't be there. It won't be there. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 24 through 27. Don't you love the sound of babies? We love the sound of babies. That's little Israel. You know, I'm going to just keep it so real with y'all. I don't even know why I'm preaching this message. You know, I just preach what God tells me to preach, but I'm just going to keep this very, very real. God loves you. If you don't hear another thing in this message, what I want you to walk out of here knowing is that God, number one, He's real. Number two, He loves you. He knows what you're up against. He knows all the obstacles that look very big to you. He knows the things in your mind that you're saying, God, how is this going to work out because of this, this, and this? Look here. In a moment, God can wipe those things out. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit God. Don't quit whatever it is. See, you know what the devil's working on your mind about. I see people in their mind and in their, I can look at people's eyes and I can tell that the devil has really worked on their mind. Let God do a work on your mind. Let Him restore you. Speak Psalms 23 over your life. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. You're speaking something over your life. It might as well be what God said about you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. How many of you have ever ran a race? I try to stay away from that kind of activity. I don't like it. My PE teacher in school talked to Miss Mary a few months ago, and he said, you know what? I remember Kelly when she was a teenager, and I couldn't get her to do nothing in PE. And he said, she told me she didn't like to sweat. That's still true. I don't like to run physically, but one thing I have gotten good at is running to God. Running to God. Amen. Running to God. Amen. I remember 6 years ago when I began pastoring, and I felt like I was drinking out of a fire hose because everything was so hard. It was difficult. Everywhere in my life, Cece, there was a problem. It was just like a perfect storm. And I kept asking God, Lord, why are you allowing me to go through so much? Right at the beginning of my pastorship, this is hard for me. And Moni, God spoke to me one day very clearly. He said, Kelly, I am taking quitting off of the table for you. I'm going to get it out of you right here at the beginning. If you will take quitting and remove it from your life, God will take you places that you never thought that you could go. Everything that He didn't ordain for your life, go ahead and quit that. One time I thought it was a great idea for me to take piano lessons in my 30s. I don't have a musical ability in my body, okay? Casey got all that talent. I got none of that. Casey used to tell me, sing higher. I thought that meant louder. I still don't even know what that means. I have sang one special up there with her and Dad, and that was just to say I did it. Okay, that was it. That was probably like a one and done. And Casey looks and she goes, now sing harmony. I don't even know what that is. I said, I'm going to just sing, and you and Dad are going to have to harmonize with me. Whatever that means, I'm not sure. But I'm going to sing, and I'm going to do what I do, and y'all going to just fit yourselves up into what I'm doing. Because I'm the one that doesn't got a musical ability, okay? Take that quitting off the table. Take it off the table. I was driving to church this morning, and I began to think about somebody that I dearly, dearly, dearly love. And my heart was just grieved. Because we're just in a society where we're calling right wrong and wrong right, and Christians are quitting God because they don't understand why the Bible is still true. And God said, Kelly, I want you to see yourself looking out those doors. And I said, okay. He said, I want you to begin to envision those people coming back. Because they didn't quit you. They quit me. Now you stop taking it personal and do what I need you to do. You begin to pray. Take that quitting, take it off the table for your life. Yes, what you're going through is difficult. It's going to take everything you got. But at the end, there's victory right there. Right there. We were... how many of y'all like roller coasters? Yep, the thrill is gone for me with that. I'm fixing to be 40, and that's not old, but there is something definitely shifted in me that stuff doesn't sit well with me. And I was looking at both of my kids who talked me into this nonsense. And I was thinking, I must really love my children. Because here I am doing this, and I don't really care for this. And they got me on one. Esther, let me tell you something. I thought, this is what a car accident really feels like. I mean, they were slinging me every which way. And I said, God, if you will just get me through this, I am not doing this one anymore. We got on one, and it was supposed to be their best one, and it really was cool, and it was called the Time Traveler. And it's so fitting for this message. The whole thing was traveling back in time and traveling in the future. And there's so many things that to have to do all over again. Jimmy, I would have done them differently. I would have stuck with some things that I quit. And we got there. And we were waiting in line. And we were waiting there for a long time. Once again, I feel like God is trying to teach me patience, and I'm not praying for it, but he wants me to. And so, but I'm having I don't want to yield to that just yet, because I hate being in lines. And the ride operator, he gets on there, and he goes, okay, excuse me, people. Just want to let you know that the Time Traveler, there's going to be a delay in this ride. What? Not only am I here with these two kids of mine, but look at all these kids that were just disappointed, okay? So little did I know that the line was actually three stories of people. They concealed that really well, but they were all three full, all three levels. And I thought, I'm staying in this line because I have devoted my time and I am committed to this ride. Now, I was very tempted to not, but I was like, no, I'm sticking with this. All of a sudden, all these people start getting off. They're done with this. And here's what I knew. My almost 40-year-old self had to climb down several flights of stairs just to get in line for this ride. And I was thinking, okay, if I quit this ride, I've got to also go up those same stairs that I just came down. And Tommy, I'm not doing it. So we just stayed. Yeah, I'm not going to break no sweat. We're going to sit here and wait this thing out. Lots of people got out of the line. We moved up. Shortly after the delay, they started that ride back up. You know, a lot of times we quit things right before we get what we've asked for. And the devil loves to do that to people. It gets you so discouraged that you've gone all this time and you've just waited and waited on God. And then in a moment, right before you're getting what you asked for, you quit. Chew on that. Chew on it. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 35 through 39. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Verse 36, and I'm going to speak this over your life. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. You need to persevere. You need to stick in there. You need to continue. Because when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. God is not a man or a physical human being that He would lie to you. Whatever He has told you, He will do it. He will do it. You may have to wait. It may not be immediate. but it is on the way. It is a done deal. If you're sitting there and you say, I don't know what God's will is, get in His presence. Let Him fill you up with His purpose for your life, with His will for your life. If you're in a point right now, I see a lot of people in society today, they're very complacent. They don't care about nothing, Moni. They don't have nothing to look forward to. They don't nothing. Look here. Shake yourself from that and continue on. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. He who is coming will come and He will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. It's not a time to quit. It's not a time to shrink back. It's a time to stick with God. Stick with Him. Stick with Him. Last place for me this morning, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us. Quitting is your enemy. Quitting is your enemy. If you could see what God has in store for you, for your life, for your family, for your household, for everything that you're concerned about, if you could see what He has, you would never question Him. And sometimes, us believers, we question Him. God, are you there? God, are you real? God, why? Look here. Stick with Him. Stick with Him. He's got exactly what you need. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Are you heavy of heart? Is there some things that you've said, God, this is so hard? God, it's hard. You know, in Timothy, it was said, the Lord came down and He stood by me and He strengthened me. Do you need some strength this morning in a supernatural way? If you do, I'm going to ask you to stand, because see, you have not because you ask not. If there are some places in your life where you're very discouraged and you say, Lord, everything in me wants to quit, but God, I don't want to quit. Lord, help me, and God, strengthen me, and Lord, don't let me become a quitter in this area. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, as people stand up all over the place, if you're at your house right now and you're watching this, I'm going to ask you to get up off of your couch and stand and respond to the word that's gone out. If you're in your car, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Lord, I thank you right now for sending strength and peace to every person that's responded to your word. Lord, where we come up short, God, I thank you that you're making up the difference right now. Lord, every place in our life that's difficult where we want to quit, God, I thank you that you're pouring off grace into those areas right now. In Jesus' name, amen. We love y'all. We hope to see you at 5:30 this evening. There are lots of